You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That was pretty fun, was it not? Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. It's Wednesday, so that means it's Draft Wednesday across this Locked On Podcast Network. Download the Draft app or go to draft.com and use the promo code LORockets. You can play in a real money draft for free just by using that LORockets promo code. So after chatting on this Wednesday evening, the Rockets have wrapped up a 4-0 homestand with a 118-97 win over the Indiana Pacers. Rockets now 17-4 on the season. We're more than a quarter of the way in, and the Rockets are winning more than 80% of their games. Celebrate that, folks. It's been an unbelievable start to the year. Fantastic homestand. If there's one thing you could nitpick, it's that as of a week ago, they were 9-1 on the road, yet only 4-3 at home. Well, that's been rectified, and they've been the same team at home on this four-game homestand, conveniently timed with the return of Chris Paul, that we've seen them be on the road. And so for today's show, of course, we're going to break down all the storylines. We'll do it in our usual 3 points recap style. A lot of big picture things to take out of this one. James Harden started slow, but ended up with 29, 10, and 8. He shot 8 of 22 from the field, but what's telling is that he actually started off slower than that. I believe he began 0 of 6 from 3, ended up making 4 of his last 5. So even if he got off to a little bit of a sluggish start, all of a sudden, before you know it, he ends up with 29, 10, and 8, plus 26 in the plus minus. This is the MVP version of James Harden that we've expected for some time. We take it for granted because that's what he's been for really the last 4 seasons here in Houston. It was another night for James. This was the last game of November for the Rockets, so he ended up averaging 35 points and 10 assists, which is just phenomenal. And the Rockets as a whole, they've won now 12 of their past 13 games, all in November. So they finished the month of November 12-1, Harden averaging 35 and 10. I don't know that anyone else is even close in the MVP race. Apologies to LeBron James, but the Cavaliers' record is not nearly to the extent the Rockets is, and that's what gives James a clear advantage there. But he's actually not my number one storyline because, folks, as great as James is, we talk about that a lot. All of you guys know just how great James is as an individual. My number one storyline for tonight is actually the emergence of Ryan Anderson. And I know Ryan was only the number 3 scorer for the Rockets tonight. As I said, Harden had 10 and 8. Capella had 22 and 13. But Ryan, in his 31 minutes, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 6 of 11 from the field, 5 of 9 from behind the arc. It was actually those 9 rebounds that I thought were particularly telling. Because if you watch this game, I don't think the box score even does it justice. Ryan, to me, was the most active player on either team. And when you get that level of energy from Ryan at this point in his career, that's massive. That's what we heard all offseason, was that he lost weight. He didn't give a precise figure. I think he said 10, 12 pounds, somewhere around there, to get more agile, to be lighter, to be better on his feet. And when Ryan Anderson gives you that level of movement, boy, you combine that with the likes of James Harden and Chris Paul, and then Clint Capella in the middle, and then the defense of Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute, and PJ Tucker, and you're going to have not just a good basketball team, you're going to have a basketball team that looks right now as the clear class of the NBA. So Ryan has been a great fit to this point in the year. I can't say he's had that energy every single game, but I will say in general his energy has been better this year than last. I think the lighter weight has something to do with that. And tonight, I don't know, maybe it was because they've had a lot of time off recently. He didn't practice that much last week because he was out with an illness. Maybe he's feeling better now that he's finally healthy after a week of being sick. Whatever it is, I think we saw Ryan Anderson tonight that even against a fairly big front line in Indiana, Thaddeus Young, Miles Turner, they've got some big bodies that they throw up there. Yet at the same time, it wasn't just Clint Capella on the glass. Ryan was active as well. And so when you get that kind of front court production coupled with the Rockets, obvious playmaking skill in the backcourt, their speed, their three-point shooting, that's when the Rockets are just unbeatable. And I thought the Pacers tonight, the Pacers entered this game having won 6 of 7. Since the Rockets beat them 2 weeks ago in Indianapolis, they have been tremendous. This is not a bad team. They went in hot. I thought they were focused, especially defensively early in the game. Just over the course of 4 quarters, the Rockets had too much for them. And I thought a big part of that early on was actually the presence of Ryan Anderson. Because yes, in the second half, James Harden eventually got going. Chris Paul hit a 3 early in the fourth quarter that I thought was a backbreaker from about 30 feet. Those guys, you knew they would eventually get going. But it would have been very possible, in my opinion, for the Rockets to have been down at the midpoint of this game and trying to play catch-up, and before you know it, that's when you let a team like Indiana mentally believe that they can hang around. If you actually watch this game, what was big in the first, I would say, especially two quarters, but really the first two and a half, I would say, Ryan Anderson and Capella, they got a lot of energy points that the Rockets might not otherwise have gotten. And that's why the Rockets, even though Harden was cold, even though Eric Gordon had another game that was not really great for him, at least from a three-point shooting perspective, Eric was 1 of 4. Now, Eric was plus 12 in his 26 minutes, was 3 of 6 from inside the arc. I thought he looked pretty springy. So, again, I wouldn't necessarily say it was a bad game for Eric. It's just continuation of him not being dialed in from three-point range of late. But really, the theme is that this was kind of a sluggish game for a lot of the Rockets, and if not for the contributions of guys like Ryan, you could have found yourself down 5 or 10 points at the half, and before you know it, you let a team like Indiana, confident group that Shang that's playing with a lot of energy, start to really believe they can get this kind of win. But at the same time, because the Rockets, despite all their tremendous talent, the Rockets also have a certain lunch pail mentality to them. We've talked about guys like PJ Tucker, like Luke Butte before in this context, but I think you can also see some of those traits in Ryan Anderson and Clint Capella as well, with just their workmanlike mentality, their willingness to grind. And I thought Ryan in particular, when you see a guy that's usually that much of just a bomber being willing to throw his body around on the interior, that got the Rockets a lot of points that they might not otherwise have gotten. It kept the Rockets up by 5 or so, even when they weren't playing that well, and then when the Rockets did eventually turn it on, as it seemed inevitable for them to do at some point, all of a sudden that 5 to 10 point Rockets lead became a 20 plus point lead, and this was yet another beatdown for the Rockets, who are now at roughly plus 11 in point differential on the season through 21 games, which is just ridiculous. And by the way, Chris Paul has not even played for the majority of the 21 games to show you how dominant this Rockets team looks right now. The other thing I'm going to throw out there about Ryan, though, as I said, I think it's his energy, his defense, the qualities, are always most exciting because those were some deficiencies at points this past season. But I'm also going to point out that, yes, he was 5 of 9 from behind the arc inside Toyota Center. It's a little thing. I know the Rockets, whenever you ask them about Ryan's home road splits, they kind of roll their eyes and say randomness. It'll come around. But at the same time, folks, those were a real factor last year. He was a much better shooter on the road than he was at home, and that continued into the playoffs. To start this season, it had been very similar. Entering tonight, he was shooting almost 44% from 3 on the road, but only 35% at home. So it started off a little bit the same way, but the 3 games that Ryan has played on this homestand, he did miss one due to being sick. But we have finally started to see signs of life from Ryan at Toyota Center. Again, 6 of 11 tonight. He was 5 of 9 on Monday, 6 of 11 on Saturday, so above 50% from the field for this entire homestand, right at about 50% from behind the arc. So it's great to see Ryan fill up the nets at Toyota Center to have success there. I never bought into the whole home versus road splits. Ultimately, it should even out, but at the same time, that needs to actually happen because, you know, while it shouldn't be a thing, at some point, it can. And for the Rockets, as I always say on this program, if you're going to compete with the Warriors, you've got to be as close to perfect as possible. And so getting the Rockets feeling like they can have success at home, I think that's what we really take out of this homestand. Not just for Ryan, but we can extend that to the team as a whole. Because, yeah, we say Ryan struggled, but really the Rockets as a whole, entering this 4-game homestand, they were 4-3. Well, they were 9-1 on the road. So if there's one thing you could nitpick is, okay, how do we get Toyota Center to feel like the Rockets team that we see on the road? And this past week, that's exactly what we've gotten. The Rockets 4-0 on this homestand, now 12 of 13 in the month of November, 17-4 on the season, the clear number one in the Western Conference. And now, at this point, assuming health, knock on wood, there's no weakness at all that you can point to with this team, in my opinion, not individually and not collectively as well, now that you've got not just Ryan, but the team as a whole starting to hum at Toyota Center as well. Let's also throw a shout-out to the fans. I do think the fan environment the past week has been better. I think maybe there's a little bit of a sluggish start to the year, the environment at Toyota Center, partially because the Astros being in the World Series, it seemed like the Houston's just kind of reached a point where there's almost too much sports. There was too much going on. But I think we've finally gotten a chance to kind of collect ourselves a little bit, take a few deep breaths, and then the Rockets are on the road a lot in November. And ever since they've been back this past week, I think the crowds, the energy at Toyota Center has been good as well. And so I'm sure you can also say that the team's play has helped with that, you know, but I think it kind of goes hand in hand. Certainly the crowd feeds off the fans, but I think the fans can also feed off the crowd as well. So salute to you guys, those of y'all out at Toyota Center. It hasn't just been the team, it hasn't just been Ryan Anderson. It's been a feel-good, a get-right week for everyone at Toyota Center. Now, of course, the Rockets start on the road, a brief three-game swing, not playing again until Sunday in Los Angeles, and then Utah and Portland to close it out next week before they come home for yet another lengthy homestand in December. What's more amazing, the Rockets are 17-4 despite having played so many road games early in the season, which shows you, of course, the overall level of dominance with this team. But, as I said, there's no games again until Sunday. That means there are three consecutive off days, and really it might feel like more than that because that game Sunday is a late start in Los Angeles. So if you're a Rockets fan, well, you're probably looking for things to do with your time. I know there are other NBA games on. I'm sure you guys enjoy seeing the Thunder, especially if they lose like tonight. Ha ha, Thunder losing in Orlando to a Magic team that lost 9 in a row. But folks, if you like watching other games around the NBA, but you want an incentive to kind of get more involved, because I know there's not that usual level of passion that there is when you watch the Rockets, well, folks, think about playing over at Draft. Draft.com, the Draft app. You can get into fantasy sports, and the best part of it, folks, you can make some real money based on the players that you choose. Because, you know, if you use the Draft app, your odds of winning are literally 80% better than on other salary cap fantasy sites. That's why Draft is personally my favorite fantasy site, because folks, you're not getting crushed by the pros. The system works to your advantage. And it's not just me. More than a million people have also downloaded the Draft app or played at Draft.com. You can literally play in a real live NBA draft right now. And folks, you can be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts fill out every second, so you can join one whenever you want. And it literally takes less than 5 minutes. You draft a team based on the players that you want to play that night based on their expected production in that night's games. And folks, from there, it's done. You don't have to set your lineups because Draft will do it for you if there's a last-minute injury or something to potentially give you the short end of the stick. It's really that simple. It's a very streamlined and efficient process over at Draft.com and on the Draft app. The best part of all of this, though, is that all new players, y'all get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. To do that, you've got to use the promo code LORockets. From there, you can play in a real money draft for free just by using that LORockets promo code. And it gets even better because, folks, Draft is so sure that you'll love it if you try it that they're even offering Locked On Rockets listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100. Just search for Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with me. You can look for Locked On Fantasy. You can play with me there. You can play with other hosts, other listeners across this Locked On podcast network. Just use that promo code LORockets. So jumping back into the show, first 10 minutes or so, we've been talking about the Rockets' improved play at home, most notably Ryan Anderson, hashtag road Ryan no more. Now he's hashtag home Ryan as well, which is great to see. It's been a bounce back week for the Rockets as a whole. The second point that I want to make is actually the bounce back of Clint Capela, because I've seen the questions. I haven't really addressed them too much. I mentioned a little on the podcast about Clint's reduction in play on this homestand, because folks, I think we all know that Clint Capela developing into, you know, an all-star level player over the first month of the year, that was the storyline for the Rockets. I've mentioned it repeatedly on this program. Clint taking the leap was a big part of how the Rockets absorbed not having Chris Paul. Now, thankfully, Chris Paul is back now, had another great game, 13-7-6 on Wednesday night against the Pacers. Chris even shot 5 of 8 from the field, which is a great turnaround after he had a couple of subpar shooting games, the last couple of games against the Knicks and the Nets. But Clint, for whatever reason, the question has been, can he sustain it? Because to start this year, yeah, he's been great. We've seen the stats, certainly the traditional numbers with him averaging over 13 and 11 a game are tremendous. But then you look at the efficiency, his shooting percentage in the upper 60s, his improved free throw percentage, the incredible player efficiency rating. All those things point to a guy who's legitimately been one of the best centers in the entire NBA, especially when you factor in that when he's needed to play 30 to 35 minutes, he's been able to. The stamina is there this year. Now, they are able to cut his minutes when they can, especially the Rockets having so many big wins like they had, again, on Wednesday against the Pacers. So, thankfully, you've only needed him to play, 26, 27 minutes per game, I believe, is his average. Yeah, still at 26 entering Wednesday. But we have seen the stamina step up when needed. And so, yeah, it's fair to say this guy that still at a player efficiency rating of over 26 is a guy who is an all-star level contributor. But this homestand, it hasn't been great. He only played 17 minutes against Denver, was a little sluggish then. And of course, the Rockets as a whole that night didn't really need him. That was a game that they were up by more than 40 at various points, but he was sluggish then. The next game, as I said, he was Well, I mean, I know he had 12 and 15, which looks respectable from a topical standpoint, but when you have Kyle LeQuinn going off for 20 and 15 and the Knicks getting off to a 22-point edge in the fourth quarter, I think a lot of that was a lack of rim protection. And even Monday against Brooklyn, I thought he turned it on late. I thought he built some confidence with the Rockets getting him going in the second half, but I didn't think it was a great start for Clint early on Monday either. And I think part of it, as I've said before on this program, it's transitioning from playing the stars to playing more of a complementary role. Because to start the year, Clint has had so many high-profile matchups. We've mentioned the four against Marc Gasol, the two against Joel Embiid, the one against Dwight Howard. The list goes on and on. And in the past week, when the Rockets don't play a center of that magnitude, the responsibilities differ a little bit because the teams they're playing are probably going to be more perimeter-oriented, which means there's a little more responsibility to help. And so from that standpoint, I thought his mental decision-making has been a little bit sluggish. And the thing with Clint, as you've seen from time to time, sometimes he's a little slow defensively. Either he lets it take a toll on him offensively, or maybe if the Rockets feel like they need a better, more of a defensive spark plug, then they don't leave Clint in to play that many minutes on offense anyway. So there is a combination effect there. But Wednesday, boy, did he get going. And against Miles Turner, another quality big, 22 and 13, 10 of 15 from the field, plus 17. I believe that's second overall in the Rockets. Yes, it is, behind only James Harden in the plus minus. So yeah, Clint going against Miles Turner, not that Miles was bad, 15 and 10, but Miles was a minus 13 in his 31 minutes. And this was yet another case of Clint going up against one of the better bigs in the NBA. And more than holding his own, in this case, substantially outplaying yet again. He also outplayed Miles Turner a couple of weeks ago in Indianapolis when these two teams last played. And I'm not going to say that it means Clint has turned the corner, because as I've said before, I don't think it's necessarily that Clint's play declined. I think it's more about the roles. His responsibilities are a little different, especially defensively. And tonight, with Turner being more of a traditional, more of your typical point of emphasis big, is what I would say. He's a close to star level player, then I think that slides Clint back into, again, that role, as I said, when he's played the likes of Gasol, Embiid, whatever young big you want to throw out there. Maybe it's a little simpler, and it still remains to be seen whether you get the same version of the Clint. I mean, it's not necessarily the same version of Clint Capella, because there are different responsibilities, but a equally productive version of Clint Capella when his role shifts more into what I would call a roamer. And when you play a team like the Knicks, like the Nets, a team that doesn't really have a particularly imposing big, and so you expect your big to be able to help more in terms of rotations. Can Clint do that more? We'll have to wait and see, but I don't think that playing against Miles Turner proves that necessarily he's, you know, turned the corner from that. However, what I do think it shows you is that even though I'm sure these past couple of games did not grade out that great for Clint in the, you know, in the film room, when they watched him, I'm sure they pointed out his mistakes. At the same time, this was, might have been his first patch of adversity. Now, maybe he had minimal patches before. Certainly didn't play that many minutes opening night in Golden State. Also, there were stretches when he seemed to be outmanned by Dwight Howard, although the Rockets controlled that game so much, it was hard to take too much from that. But I would say this past week was the first more than one game in a row, I would say multiple consecutive game stretch, where Clint was not at an all-star level. He wasn't bad. I'm not picking on him. He just was not at an all-star level. Yet, tonight, we did see him bounce back and get back to the guy that we saw over the first month of the season, when he truly was an all-star level player and a deserving candidate for one of the top 12 spots in the Western Conference. At one point, through almost a month's worth of play, I believe one of the metrics, I think real plus minus, or was it? No, it was win shares per 48. That's what it was. It was win shares adjusted for per 48 minutes that had Clint second to only James in win shares per 48 in the NBA. I know he slipped a little bit since then. His contribution still at an all-star level. There's still stuff to be proven with Clint. We'll see, especially on this road trip where the Rockets, Rudy Gobert out for the Jazz, so the Rockets are not exactly going to be going up against Murderer's Row in terms of opposing bigs. So we'll get to see Clint address some of those concerns, the likes of which we talked about the last couple of episodes on this show. We'll see if the Rockets can make some adjustments. They do have three days off, before facing the Lakers on Sunday. So hopefully that can help. But I do think you take something positive out of the fact that, you know, after the first week of his season, where he's had multiple games that were not really elite, to see him step out of it and get back to that elite form, not just from a box score standpoint, but as I said in the Ryan segment, I think his energy overall was good as well. He got the Rockets a lot of effort points to kind of keep them afloat in various stretches when they were very cold from outside and might otherwise have gotten down. So I think you give credit to him for mentally moving past what's been a little bit of a subpar week. Also, I thought his rim protection was very good. This was a game he only had two fouls, so he avoided foul trouble. But I thought the Pacers, one of the stories for the Pacers in this game, they were only 7 of 28 from behind the arc. And so, yeah, you'll point to the fact they only had 25% from behind the arc, which is certainly good. But you can also say, well, it's just a bad lock shot. Shots went out on a given night. Well, folks, 28 threes is not really that many in terms of volume either, and certainly seven makes is not. And a big part of that, I thought that Clint, of course, he's 1-on-1 against Miles Turner, but I thought his awareness was pretty good. When the Pacers tried to probe, it wasn't as if the Rockets all of a sudden got lost defensively because all of a sudden, you know, Clint misses his guy and someone else rotates over, and then that leaves an open shooter in the corner or whatever it may be. I thought the rotations were crisp. The Pacers didn't just shoot 25% from behind the arc because they missed a lot of shots. They shot 25% from behind the arc and only 28 attempts because they did not get that many good looks, period. And so, yes, it starts with the perimeter guys, Chris Paul, James Harden, Trevor Ariza. They're all capable of defending. But you also have to give credit to your bigs, Ryan Anderson and certainly Clint Capella, for not being deficient inside, because if you're deficient inside, then all of a sudden that makes the perimeter guys have to help a little too much, and then before you know it, that's how you get those open wing and especially corner threes that can bump up an opposing team's three-point shooting in a real big hurry. So again, I won't say that one game proves that all of a sudden Clint Capella is back, the guy for the first half of the year, but at the same time, I don't think two or three games proves that he was gone either. I think it's just a good sign in general, even though the responsibilities might have been a little bit different. I think it's a very good sign to see Clint bounce back from his first semi-rough patch and come back with, again, 22-13, 10 of 15 from the field. Monster night for Clint Capella inside, who's plus 17 in his 28 minutes, second only to James Harden. Now, the third and final point on our three-point segment wrapping up, I spent the first couple of segments talking about individuals. Ryan Anderson and Clint Capella, those to me are the two standouts. James Harden and Chris Paul, not going to say they are not worthy of recognition, but we've mixed in some references to them. James, 29, 10, and 8, finished up averaging 35 and 10 for the month. Chris got, after a couple of off-shooting nights, 5 of 8 from the field, 2 of 3 from behind the arc, 13, 7, and 6. But you expect that from those guys. They're top 10 players, and we give them their due on this program. And we'll do that especially so the next couple of days, because I'll tease, we have a couple of interviews coming up to wrap up the week here at Locked On Rockets, where we can talk more bigger picture things, and that's where it's going to be easy to wax poetically about the wonderful strengths of James and Chris and all the great things they've done, especially this past week on this 4-0 homestand. But individually, the stories of this game to me were Ryan and Clint. And let's also throw a shout-out to Trevor Ariza, who 5 of 7 from the field, 4 of 5 from 3, 14 points, plus 12. It was a positive shooting night for Trevor as well. But the final point I want to raise tonight, and this is probably the most significant point, the Rockets as a team. Think about this, folks. They are 17-4, a winning percentage of 81%. They're at, right at 810. Going by the standings page, and then they've won 12 of their past 13. Folks, we are more than a quarter of the way into the NBA season. 21 games is more than 25% out of 82. And the Rockets, they're winning over 80% of their games. They have a two-game lead on the Warriors in the loss column for the number one seed in the West. And as of now, the Rockets have the tiebreaker, meaning it might as well be three games. And I know you're going to say, well, it's early, blah, blah, blah. Well, folks, in the tiebreaker race, it's actually not that early. The Rockets only play the Warriors three times, and they've won the game in Oakland. The latter two are in Houston, which means those two Rockets-Warriors games in January, all the Rockets got to do is win one of them, and they have the tiebreaker. And even if you go 1-2, then at worst, you have evened out as far as those two games not letting the Warriors make up that gap, which now is effectively at three games, assuming you hold that tiebreaker. That means the Warriors would have to find three games somewhere else on the slate. And I know folks are going to say it's early, but the point I'm going to make to you guys, barring injury, and that's always knock on wood, but it's not that early. Folks, over 25% of the way into the season, That's a pretty significant sample, and it's not like there's anything to suggest it's fluky. The point differential for the Rockets now at about plus 11, it's just as dominant as it is for the Warriors. Actually, a little bit ahead of the Warriors. We'll see what they do tonight. I believe they're playing the Lakers. Maybe they bump it up. I think the Rockets have a slight edge right now. But the bottom line is the Rockets look every bit as dominant as the Warriors do, and they've got a two-game edge, effectively three, with the tiebreaker in the standings. And yes, people are going to say, well, 25% of the way still means there's, what, 60 games left, 61. Okay. That's true. But if you are winning at an 81% clip, there are not that many losses to be had, period. So that's the thing. You can say, well, they have this lead, but you know, there's all these games left. That's fine. But if the Rockets are healthy, if this is their true level of play, and I'm seeing nothing right now to suggest that it's not, then folks, to make up three games, that's not going to be easy. Because if the Rockets win at this pace, shoot, you're looking at a team that conceivably wins 65 games, which means you may only have about 12 or so more losses the entire rest of the way. So if your goal, even for Golden State, that's an incredibly small margin for error. And in Golden State, you're looking at a team that basically every other team in the NBA views as their game 7 of the NBA Finals when the Warriors come to town. You get everybody's best shot. That's part of why the Warriors actually lost at home the other night to the Kings. You better believe the Kings were extra juiced for that game. And yeah, there's still no Curry and Durant in that game. I understand that. But the same dynamic is still there. And the reason I keep harping on this point is this. I'm not saying the Rockets are the favorite for the title. Even if the Rockets get the number one seed, the Warriors, until proven otherwise, they're going to be the favorites in the playoffs, and the Rockets are going to have their work cut out for them. But folks, if the Rockets have home court, if games 1 and 2 in a series allow them to get off to a good start, and more importantly, game 5 and game 7 are in Houston rather than at Oracle, all of a sudden, what we thought going into the year might have been a 10 or 20% chance, in my opinion, if the Rockets can get home court, all of a sudden, that 10 to 20% chance, assuming health, it might get up to be like a 40 to 50% shot. In other words, you could have a real legitimate shot at the Warriors if you have home court advantage. That gives you, I understand how talented the Warriors are. I understand that the Rockets, even as well as they're playing now, I don't know if they truly have the level of all-star difference makers that the Warriors do. But folks, the chemistry the Rockets are playing with, the execution on both ends, not just offense, but defense as well, the cohesion in this lineup, the continued growth of Clint Capella, what we've seen from Eric Gordon for most of the year, the last week notwithstanding. Folks, there's a real shot. The Rockets, their record, they are what they are. There's nothing to indicate this is a mirage. And even though you know you can say there's 60 games left, well, folks, first off, over 25% of the way, it's not an insignificant sample. And even with 60 left, well, folks, to make up three games, if the Rockets can just take one of the two, and now I just imagine if they take both, but let's not go there. Let's just say the Rockets take one of the two against Golden State in January. All of a sudden, the Warriors have to make up three games in the loss column elsewhere. If the Rockets stay on a 65-plus win pace, there's not going to be that many losses, period. So that makes the bar incredibly, it makes the margin of error very, very small. And they could still do it. Golden State is that damn good. But I guess what I'm saying, we are at a point now where I think it is legitimately a race for the number one seed. The Rockets have a real shot at it. And if they get it, I'm not going to say they're the favorite, but if the Rockets get the number one seed and they have game one, game two, and more importantly, game five and game seven at Toyota Center in a hypothetical best of seven with the Warriors, if they have those games at Toyota Center, then yeah, I think this team legitimately has a chance. It's one step at a time. I'm not going to analyze hypothetical playoff series yet because right now, you know, that's a long way off. Right now, it's just winning every game you can so that you can get that number one seed instead of the number two spot. But over a quarter of the way into the season, I don't see anything that suggests it's a mirage. I legitimately think this is becoming an attainable goal. And when you see the Rockets, again, this was not a bad Indiana team. This was a group that entered the game winning 6 of 7. They felt very confident. They had decent results in the first half. They were flying around defensively. I think it was a group that had high expectations. And then the Rockets just put it into another gear once James Harden and Chris Paul started making their shots from the outside, and then you combine that with what they already had from the likes of Ryan and Trevor, and of course Rockets as a whole, led by Ryan and Trevor, is a good night for them from 3, 18 of 40. If the Rockets shoot 45% from behind the arc, there's not that many teams in the league that can beat them. But that's the point, is that when they have a gear, the Rockets, when they get to that, that almost no one, except maybe the Warriors, can get to. That's pretty special. And the sample size now, as we're talking about this, it's not insignificant. We are over a quarter way into the season, It's a significant sample, and maybe it's time to start adjusting the goals for the Rockets as they enter December. That's food for thought in the days ahead. Now, to break that down more in the next couple of episodes, I am going to have some more bigger picture stuff. That's kind of laying out my initial thoughts after this game. I'll sleep on it. I'll get some perspective because this is going to be a good chance to kind of talk with some other people in the Rockets community. I won't spoil it, but I think you might be blessed tomorrow with who my guest is going to be, and then we'll see about Friday. I'm working on a couple of things for that. But that's where I think we're going to go to wrap this up at the end of the week, because the Rockets, again, I think we all want more Rockets talk with them playing that well, but there are no more games until Sunday. Hopefully that helps them to continue staying healthy, because, yeah, I think the return to health, most notably of Chris Paul, has been a part of this extra shot in the arm that they've had the past six games or so. Of course, they've won 12 of 13, so they've been great the entire month of November, but especially the last six games, they've just been bludgeoning teams, and I think return to health has been a big part of that. Hopefully, long stretch of off days, not playing again until Sunday night in Los Angeles, will further bolster that. But with the extended off days, I think it's a good chance to talk some bigger picture items. We do get caught up in the day-to-day a lot here at Lockdown Rockets because we're your home for post-game commentary. So stay tuned the next couple of days. I think we're going to have some bigger picture things that you will probably enjoy as well. Until then, though, I will sign off. Again, if you're not already following me or the show on Twitter, that's the best way to stay in contact with me during the games on a real-time basis. You can follow me at Ben DuBose, follow the show at Lockdown Rockets, or email us, lockdownrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, or inquiries about how to become a sponsor of this rapidly growing program, just as our friends over at the Draft app were today. Remember, download that Draft app or go to draft.com and use the promo code LORockets. And folks, you can play with your first deposit, you can play a real money game for free. It's that easy. Get into the draft for free with the promo code LORockets, and you can join us anywhere across the Lockdown Podcast Network. Just search for Lockdown Fantasy, and you can play with me or lots of other folks around this network. And with the Rockets not playing again until Sunday, if you want extra reason to watch other NBA teams' games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, folks, play some fantasy hoops and go to draft.com or download the Draft app. And to me, that is by far the simplest and most friendly way to do that. Besides visiting our sponsors and supporting them, again, LORockets is the promo code. Other way you can support us, leave us a good rating, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, pretty much wherever you search for your podcast. We're on a lot of platforms, but folks, search for Lockdown Rockets and leave us a 5-star review. That's how we look good to advertisers, and those advertisers are how we're able to bring this to you on such a frequent basis, now the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. So until tomorrow, I will sign off. Again, very happy final from Toyota Center tonight. Rockets 118, Pacers 97. Rockets off for a few days before starting off a 3-game road trip in Los Angeles against the Lakers on Sunday night. It won't be that long until we talk. We're going to be talking some bigger picture items, some more interview-focused shows the next couple of days, so stay tuned for that. Until then, have a good night, folks. Again, this is Ben DuBose, Locked on Rockets. Rockets 118, Pacers 97 tonight. On that note, have a wonderful night, Houston, and I will talk with you again tomorrow.